Okay, I would like to call this study session of the City Council to order at 6:40. 5:40. First, we'll look for tonight's agenda. Does any member of council have any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay. Oh, did you want to do that tonight? Oh, okay. Let me tell Joyce to get numerous copies of that. Okay, she's making copies now. Okay, Mr. Walker would like to appoint Beth Gooch to the Youth Commission. I mean, Mr. Sharp at 5:42 would like to appoint Beth Gooch to the Youth Commission. And we all received copies? Did we? I don't think we did, Arthur. I think you might have, but I don't think we did. Are you okay? Why don't we get copies tonight and then council can decide? Okay. Arts and Letters called me up and asked me to read the proclamation tonight on returning artist series, so I would like to read that tonight under proclamations. Okay, with that, we will proceed. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. This evening's study session is devoted to a discussion of the video audio conferencing, and we've asked the city attorney to be present, so I'll turn it over to Ms. Forster.
Thank you. As we're all familiar, there has been an amendment to Section 610.015 regarding how votes are taken in sessions of elected governmental bodies. The amendment permits, does not require, that roll call votes can be taken by members who are attending via video conferencing. And from my reading of the statute and interpretation, I believe that that applies only to elected governmental bodies and not necessarily to committees that are appointed or created by that governmental body. It is my understanding tonight that we want to kind of discuss drafting a possible policy for the city and sort of where the city stands on permitting video conferencing, whether the city limits the number, sets a specific number, sets a specific reason for why people can attend via video conference rather than attending physically and being present.
Could you turn on your recorder, please? Mic, please.
I understand that the Civil Service Board met, according to Mr. Glickert, via video conferencing. So is that something that's available to them? Not that I'm trying to weigh in on
it. No. Going forward, you can attend via video conference, but not vote.
Okay.
Them or us?
No, committees. City Council can attend and vote because you're an elected governmental official. But committees they can attend but not vote via video conference.
That's based upon what we deal with, because there's a possibility, or is there a possibility, that we don't have to use video conferencing?
You mean prohibit it completely?
Yes.
That is an option. I would not recommend it since the law does permit it. I think completely prohibiting attendance by a council member by via video conferences might cause some issues.
Let me make sure. Video conferences means by phone, not necessarily by video. Is that correct? Video is by phone. Is that right?
Video is by, like, Skype, where there's actually, you have a monitor. They can speak to you. You can see them. They can hear everything, and you can speak back and forth. They actually have to have a video monitor where they can see everything and you can see them, not just like on speakerphone.
That means that's something we have to purchase, is that correct?
Oh, you can do it on your, like, on Paulette's laptop. If she downloads Skype, or it's free.
Yes.
And then you just call up the other person on their laptop on Skype, and you, it's free. It won't cost the city anything else. Does that make sense to you? That you can do it through your standard laptop, any or a city laptop. It's called, you can do a Skype program, and the individual can be there without the city having to purchase additional equipment or any applications.
Let me further that. She has one, I don't. So what does that mean?
Well, you can use the city's. Like, does Paulette have a, I mean, does Joyce have a laptop? Someone, I'm sure so, the city has a laptop that you could bring up to the meeting and utilize.
Mr. Crowe?
Katie, as I recall, the video is one that is a back and forth, that if I'm in Florida on business and I'm on the video screen, or I'm mm-hmm. on my Skype or whatever means, mm-hmm. I'm also going to be able to see my colleagues on the screen?
Correct. If you have a camera, you may have to move it periodically. So right. If they want to see, you can move it back so they can see everyone, but if they'd rather be closer in to see the individual speaking very closely, they can. Otherwise, if you set it sort of on the table, you should be able to see everyone.
So there is a, so the mechanism by which the city is going to, if I were the one who is someplace else, the mechanism that the city would have for videoing back to me is going to be a laptop sitting on the table that tries to get in all of the other six.
Right.
That's a little bit more operation. I apologize. It may be more for...
Or an attached... I believe the city has an attached camera, too, that can be utilized.
As you walked through this, is there any... And they may have done it differently. Did the school district do additional equipment, since I know they sort of had to be on the cutting edge of this with the senator being a member? Do you know... I mean, they seem to have already implemented this and already using it rather routinely.
Of the school districts?
University City School District is already doing this routinely because it's Maria's law. And
okay.
Maria's pretty much, she has been using it. And my question is just, was there any outreach made to the school district to see how they implemented theirs or what process they're using?
The Missouri School Board Association, which most of the public school districts are members of, they were looking to the Muni League's policy as well. There has been discussion, because the issue was brought up by a number of the school districts about also completely prohibiting it, and consensus has been to suggest that districts do allow some type of or some limited number of video conferencing in by its members. But basically, everyone's kind of relying on this sort of standard language of making accessible and trying to figure out how to limit it without completely saying no.
Ms. Carr, and then Mr. Kraft.
I guess I'm going to take a slightly different approach. I spent some time with Senator Chappelle Nadal yesterday and asked her about this. She said that it was in no way meant to be restrictive. And in fact, that the school district has not made their policy, the University City School District has made it no restrictions, mm-hmm. essentially, so that they would avoid any legal kind of action.
Right.
I'm probably the person on this council that would use it the least. I think I've only been absent once. And that happened to be for a vacation I had scheduled, and then we had an emergency meeting. But I am always concerned with representing our constituents. Mm-hmm. And so if someone has, and I know the term emergency is used, mm-hmm. so I asked her about the term emergency. She foresaw it as either some kind of illness, work-related,
right.
or, just not able to get to the meeting.
Right.
But again, her feelings were that this should not be restrictive, yet I'm hearing from you that people are trying to say, we don't really want to do this. Just so everybody knows, it was vetoed by the governor and overridden. 2/3 vote of the Senate said, I'm sorry, Governor Nixon, your objections are heard, but we disagree with you.
Right.
Yes.
And my comments kind of going through the sample policy that I sent you guys, looking in Section C, the frequency of use, I did have concerns with this, especially with regard to limiting, where it says, like, the first sentence, the governmental body shall not attend more than blank meetings via video conference. If you limit that, my concern with limiting, what's the penalty? What are... You exceed your three. Are they going to ask you to leave count? I'm concerned with, if you put a limit, you have to have a penalty, and I don't like that. And then my second comment in that section was, I don't like that you specifically set forth when it can be used, because, like you said, you could have an illness, you could break a leg, you could suddenly be called out of town for work. A kid could make the playoffs. There's a number of, everyone's going to have a different reason. So I. Personally, from my reading, and my recommendation would be not to limit it, because I think everyone here lives in U-City. It's close enough, and their schedules usually allow it. But that's going to be a decision for council to make.
Mr. Kraft?
Right. I think the idea of, I agree that you either allow it or you don't, and then to go in and say, well, if it's an emergency, then it's okay. I think that all that stuff about the primary purpose, blah, 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 that should just be struck. I completely agree with that. The fact that the governor's veto was overridden, this is the same legislature that in its wisdom is trying to override his vetoes on federal supremacy on most laws, too. I'm not sure that the wisdom of the legislature that's voted us a Christian state is particularly wise. So the legislature has given us the opportunity to do this, but I am correct, and I was correct when I stated at the last meeting that it's not mandated. This just gives us the option of doing video conferencing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't state shall or...
It just can. So I think if we're going to do it, I mean, if there's this overwhelming push to do it, I guess if we're going to do it, I think that we should strike the stuff about broken legs and illnesses. I think that we should clearly not allow it at closed meetings. I think that kind of brings into question as to what a closed meeting even is. And I think it should be clear that you have to have a physical quorum at all times, because otherwise then you end up with the nonsense if you could have seven laptops up there and nobody's here. So I think those would be the three things that I would insist on if we decided to do it. So it would be strike the stuff about the reasons, either do it or you don't. Definitely not in closed meetings, and I would insist that we have a physical quorum. Having said that, I don't see any real need to do this. I mean, I think each of us misses about one meeting a year. I think the idea of disenfranchisement is kind of a moot question. I think that Congress is full of congressmen that show up every now and then. They're constituents don't seem to be unrepresented. So I don't see any, and I think it also should be, it needs to be clear that it's only the city council that can do it. Did you make that point?
Yes, we already discussed that.
Yeah, okay. And in its wisdom, the legislature exempted themselves from this rule. So the legislature cannot, they're exempt from this rule is the way it's written, is my understanding. So I'm not sure, they can't vote by video conference or participate in video conference, either at their own hearings for committees or for the legislature itself. So I don't think we need this particularly. And if someone can give me a compelling reason, it's rare that we have less than seven, and we almost always have six. I mean, it's not like we can't make a quorum. I just don't see the need for it.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Mayor. I guess what I would come back to, Katie, is that I think what I'm hearing you say, and for the most part, maybe at times my colleague, is that maybe Section 1, subparagraph C, the frequency and the purpose, is that the one that, if anything, we could just delete the whole thing?
Correct.
Okay, that would, to me, that's perfectly fine. I do think this is a unique law. I think it was an odd law that was passed. I would be the first to say that. A couple things I would say is that I don't think it's about getting a quorum or not here. I think it's about for those of us who travel for business, which would probably be Michael and me as much as anybody, it wouldn't be about achieving a quorum for my colleagues. It would be about being able to participate when I'm out of town. So I've not thought of it as whether it's going to be used to achieve a quorum. I actually would disagree with my colleague that I think you have to have a physical quorum present, because I'd actually take it the next step and say, I don't foresee us really ever having a time when you would have multiple members of us on laptops, though it could occur. My thought would be that actually in most we can switch to the private sector, and the private sector is pretty much done routinely every day around the world as far as the ability to have members participate. I recognize that this is a public entity, but to me, it's not about achieving a quorum, because I agree with my colleague. We really, I don't know that we've ever had an opportunity where we haven't had a quorum up there. We've not had quorums here before, but I think we've always had a quorum there. I think it's more about the individual members who do travel for business. And frankly, I think I'll always try to work my calendar so that I'm here in person. But if I'm not here, it would make sense for me to be able to key in on my laptop in my hotel room in Tampa, Florida, and join in on the business of the day. I share a lot of my colleagues' concerns about the closed session. I've never been comfortable with the closed session being on this, though I'm not certain that And you may be able to tell me this, that the law allows us to make that distinction.
It permits it. It doesn't say either way. You know, it doesn't say you can't.
Because I mean, I think that's a concern that even the school boards are having right now.
Right.
Is that if you're sitting there and you're doing a closed session,
or if you're in Starbucks, and,
you know, you're really not in a closed session, because you got folks looking over your shoulder, or you got folks around the bin, or depending on how your volume is set, if you're not on headphones. So I have that same concern. But I do think that we would want to have the opportunity to use it, though I just don't see it happening too often.
And the statute doesn't require the city to impose a policy. I mean, we could do a one-paragraph policy that says the city will allow video conferencing if ever needed.
I'm a little concerned only, and this may go more to Mr. Walker and to Jared, is just making sure that, you know, on both ends, the bandwidth is there just to punch it through and keep it going so that you don't have an issue with getting bounced off. Because as someone who does video conferencing literally every week, I think the biggest frustration is when somebody gets bounced off. It's got to be a frustration for the mayor when she's running the meeting. It's got to be a frustration for the colleagues who are having a conversation. And then, of course, it's a frustration for the person who is using it remotely. So the dropping issue, even though I know I think you deal with it here policy-wise, I think administratively-wise, is probably one of the things that Jared would, or someone would just have to sort of give us some ideas to what's the way that we'd prevent as many drops as we could.
Mr. Sharp?
I would probably be the least one to have to deal with video conferences. But one of the things, I would agree that it should not be done in a closed session. I do agree with that. But I don't have the mechanism to do that. So consequently, where does that lead me? Although if I'm absent, I would just assume, even if it were something important, I don't have that. Consequently, I would be sort of left out. Is that correct?
No. Well, you might have access wherever you are to someone else's computer if you wanted to call in, if you wanted to be part of the meeting. You could do this on most computers if the computers have a camera, or if they mount a camera and they download the equipment. I guess Ms. Carr?
You will remember at some point that the council decided to provide the mayor with a laptop. And I think something similar could be done. The school board has provided all of their members with an iPad. So some similar mechanism could be done for someone who wanted to have that. I just operate this way. No one should be left out. And you should be adequately trained so that you feel comfortable and anyone should, in fact. I do use Skype a lot because my son lives in New York City. But I would think also that you would want to project that person so that people at the meeting could see that person interacting. So there would be some setup, I would assume, similar to what the school district is set up. And again, I think with our IT department, we would have that capacity. So so you will not be left out ever, Mr. Sharp, ever.
I'm Mr. Kraft.
Right. Well, I think there's a consensus on the closed meetings. I really think that although it's unlikely to be necessary, I agree, it really would be nice to say that for purposes of a quorum, only the council members who are physically present will be counted. For purposes of a quorum, we have to have four members to be a quorum, okay? I would, if you don't have a rule, there could be seven or four. People could show up by computer and there's nobody physically present in the room. Now, that hasn't been an issue, but I would like to make sure that when you count a quorum, that you at least have four members who are physically in the room. Otherwise, it's kind of unfair to the audience. I mean,
Mr. Crow?
Well, I think the issue is, though, if my vote counts, why doesn't my presence, if my vote counts by computer, I don't understand why I wouldn't count for a quorum.
Because there's not a meeting if there's no quorum.
No, I got that part. But my point is, if I'm allowed to vote by this statute, it doesn't make sense that I'm not allowed to be a part of the quorum by this statute. I mean, to me, I think the bigger problem is a practical one, and that is that I think we had three or four people on their laptops coming through here. I'm not sure that the system is ready to handle that many laptops coming in and out. I mean, I procedurally would rather, number one, I don't believe it's going to occur, but number two, I believe if my vote is good enough by this statute, then I should count as a quorum no matter where I am. And I think the flip side of that is probably not necessary. The third one, which is harder, is I'm not certain that the system will hold that many data feeds out to three or four laptops.
Well, actually, we have our own quorum rules. So, in other words, right now the way the rule is if you're not here, your vote really doesn't count. Okay.
Well, that kind of segues to what I was going to ask Katie. Does this have to be another policy, or is this something we can handle in our rules? Because we do talk about electronic devices in our rules. Could this be done in our rules where we could talk about quorums and everything else?
Definitely, because it doesn't have, like I said earlier, it does not require a city or any governmental body to incorporate a separate policy. So you don't have to do it by ordinance, you don't have to do it in the code, and we already have a code that says council can make their own rules. So it can definitely be put in council rules.
Hey, Mr. Kraft, sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, right now, if you're not physically present, you not only don't count in the quorum and you don't get a vote. So I think that for people who would be sitting here in the audience, what we're suggesting is if we can't drum up four people physically for a meeting, then it's not fair to have a meeting.
But I think what the statute's trying to make, that even if the rules say you have to be present, I think by being allowed to be here by video conference, then you are technically present because you're permitted to be there by video conference.
Well, and what I'm suggesting is that we can make our own rules, and our rules would be that we count the quorum, and if we don't physically have four people physically present, that we do the quorum first, and then if someone wants to, once we've established a quorum, then if somebody wants to video in, that's fine. But if we don't have a quorum, then we don't have a meeting, and there's nobody's disenfranchised because nobody's voting at all.
That's a decision council would make. You would be permitted to create a quorum by having the fourth member be present via video conference because that's what the statute permits. But that is a decision of councils as to what they want to incorporate into the policy.
Right. I mean, exactly. I don't want four people on laptops having a quorum. I think the issue there becomes a little sloppy at that point. So if you take it to its extremes, you could have four people on a laptop with nobody even has to be physically in the room here.
That's correct.
You know, then you could get into issues of, well, someone could call a meeting, it's posted, but nobody knows about it. I mean, citizens can't attend a meeting, but legally four people are on a laptop. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that this law was particularly well thought out. And even the commentators from the MML say that this isn't a particularly well thought out law. And I think we ought to think about this. I think there's just some pretty gray areas. And I think it's correct if you say, I think it's unlikely that all six of us won't be here or all seven of us won't be here. I agree. But you make a rule, you know, 10 years from now, everybody's walking around with laptops on their wrist or whatever the heck it is, and we've got this rule. I mean, I think we have to be careful what rule we make. That's all.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Mayor. I actually agree with my colleague that I'm not sure that the law was necessarily well thought out. I think it was designed for a very, 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 very specific purpose, that's for better or for worse. But at the end of the day, I would disagree that I think notice, if you want to take it to the illogical conclusion, you can. And even if you had notice given for a meeting that had four people on laptops, number one, notice was still given. And number two, it wouldn't mean that citizens, though it's not likely to occur, citizens could be in this room with Joyce with the laptop and still be able to participate. I mean, I don't see that occurring. I don't see that ever occurring. At least while all of us are on this body, I think later on the virtual meetings may happen. But really, to me, I guess I'm trying to figure out if the statute is allowing the presence to be there, I'm not sure why we thwart it by having to have a physical quorum present. I think it's a moot point, but I think my colleague would probably agree with me. I don't know that any of us think that the implementation of this particular statute is anything to go to the mat on, because it's just, I don't think hardly any of us are going to use it. I, before you were here, I said the most likely people to use it would be you or me, because we probably travel more for business than anybody else. And yet, we haven't missed that many meetings, so I'm not thinking we'd use it that often anyway. That was, just so you know, I threw your name in there earlier.
Thank you for doing that, Terry.
Mr. Sharp?
The only difficulty I would have any at all, and I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but let's say, for instance, if there is an issue at hand and individuals decided that let's not show up, or if we show up, let's all show up someplace else or whatever on a laptop rather than having a physical presence because of some issue of some kind. And because of that, I would say that we should have a quorum of four people in-house. It may not ever come to fruition. It may be something that's out there somewhere that I have my mind on that nobody else is basically thinking about. But only for that reason would I say that there ought to be at least four people in-house present. Only for that. And that's because of the fact that I'm thinking, Paulette, negatively when I should be thinking positively.
Mr. Kraft?
And I think there's a thing in the, you know, if you lose your connection, I think they have a thing about losing connection. So say you've got three people and your fourth person is, you know, on computer, but the connection stops, well, then your meeting stops because you don't have a quorum. So it's, you know, is it probably a moot point? Yeah, but so if it's moot, let's just make sure we have four physical people and it doesn't have to, you know, and hopefully we never have to test it, that's all.
I guess my thoughts are, I don't think we can ban this because it is the law. I do think as we move forward with discussions, though, we need to think about how it impacts our residents and what how effective our taking part in meetings is for the audience. Maybe I didn't see the school board set up, but when I was there for a meeting and a morning meeting and they brought the senator in from wherever she was, it really was not easy to communicate and have her communicate with the audience. She was up on the podium. She couldn't see the whole room. People couldn't see and hear her. So I think we don't have an option of allowing this, but I do hope we can talk as a council on how it is best to implement it, because I don't think it's the best way for our residents. I think our residents have the right to see us, hear us, and talk to us after meetings. Ms. Carr?
I would actually agree with all of you. I would like to see a physical forum, quorum, just because I think that guarantees that the meeting would go on if you lose the bandwidth. Just for that reason alone. Also, I did ask Senator Chappelle Nadal how receptive her constituents were, how she perceived the reception. And she said, if in the end they are unhappy with the way this is being conducted, they have the right not to reelect me. And that was the, you know, that was the argument. I think if people feel like they're not being correctly represented, if somebody is only showing up for meetings via video. But there may be a time when someone does have some kind of a physical impediment and can't make it but would like to participate in one or two meetings. And I think that the mayor is right. It is the law, and we should make an effort to make that available. And I think it will evolve over time as we all get little wristwatches that allow us to instantly video conference and project the big image out in space without screens and things. I don't think that's in my lifetime. Yes, it will happen. So I don't want to write the law for something I can't really anticipate very well. But I would certainly want, since this is the law, to consider it in some form that would allow us to operate if and when that time comes.
Okay. Ms. Forster, did you have some? Oh, Mr. Sharp?
We only have two. One, at least four present, and the other not at closed meetings. What does that mean?
2 points of discussion. Well, Ms. Forster, did you want to add something?
With regards to statute and the amendments, well, I heard the quorum, a physical quorum, no limitations, not in closed session. I don't know if you want to address it in the policy, access to technology by all council members. So those are the issues I heard.
That making sure everybody has.
If you don't own a laptop or an iPad or don't have access to it, if the city could provide you with a laptop.
In the limitations we were talking, no limitations on numbers of time per year.
Correct.
Or reasons.
Correct.
For. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Mr. Kraft.
I don't have a particularly strong view on this part. Are study sessions too? I think the issue of voting is really the key, as I see it. My attitude on study sessions is people are, and maybe we ought to just experiment with it. First of all, study sessions really aren't, I don't know what their legal issue is anyway. I mean, can we just try it? I'm just questioning whether someone's participation via Skype at a study session would be particularly effective. I mean, because it's kind of back and forth. There's not motions and seconds, and it's more. I think it might be kind of awkward, is my thought. I don't know. I'm not against it. I just don't think it's going to be very effective, is my concern.
Ms. Forster?
Well, I think that the purpose of the statute and the change was basically for voting purposes only. So if you're really not voting in the study session, I don't see any need to apply it to study sessions.
Mr. Crow?
I don't know if I disagree, but I don't know, is there really a prohibition against us voting in a study session?
No. So you can. You can utilize
Steve,
it.
Steve, I mean, I really don't think any, I don't think any of us will really use it hardly at all.
Right.
But I really don't. But to me, to say you can't use it during a study session, we had a vote could come up. We have before. We have in the past.
Well, so legally in a study session, though, we're actually technically a committee of the whole. So our votes, you know, we vote to put something on the agenda where it will be formally voted on. So we've never had a.
Is it a roll call vote?
No, we've never had a roll call. They've all been sort of. We've technically been a committee of the whole. Or we just nod our heads by consensus, but it's something that's going to be on the agenda at another time, which we'll vote on. Is the only time we've. It's never been a final vote on something. It's always been a.
Well, I think previous councils it has been a final vote, but also what I would say is that I don't see the benefit. I mean, I seem to be the one who's, because this law really doesn't. It's an odd law,
right.
But to me. A study session, if I'm in Florida or Mike's in New Orleans and you've got an interesting study session, I'll pick the topic. Yep. Why couldn't I participate by?
You could participate. The statute, it talks about votes taken by roll call in meetings. So yep. I don't know, since you're not doing roll call votes in a study session,
yep.
if it would technically be permitted. But I don't see why attendance via Skype yep.
would not be available. To be honest, my concern isn't that it's good or bad. I'm just wondering whether it would even work. I think we should try it once just to see if it works is sort of my attitude. I just have a feeling it's kind of awkward in a study session. That's
right. I think it has been awkward.
Yeah.
Right. Mr. Glickert?
I was just going to add that if you're involved in the study session via Skype, it seems like the natural progression would be you'd be involved in the city council meeting following the study session.
Yeah. I think we should try it and see if it works. I just think it's going to be kind of awkward. That's all.
Mr. Sharp, or Ms. Carr, then Mr. Sharp?
I would hesitate to say try it once and make a decision on that. There's always a learning curve whenever you use technology. So I might suggest that we try it for a period of time,
That's
at
sure.
which point we reevaluate it or something
That's
like
fine.
That. But again, it is the law. I don't think we should be restrictive about it. I don't think we would embrace it in the way of having seven little laptops and all of us go by that go to meeting thing, but it's a possibility. It's done, actually.
The only thing about study sessions is study sessions do not require a quorum, so I don't know if that matters or not. I don't have a clue.
Mr. Sharp?
I need to get some type of clarification as far as voting at a study session, because I don't know, I am not sure where I am with that. I don't know if we have a vote at a study session. If we do, I need to have some resolution as to what happens with voting at a study session. Do we not? Who knows?
I need some clarification as far as that's concerned. I would ask the city clerk on that. I don't recall our having a roll call vote as long as I've been around. And I don't recall having them with Mayor Adams either.
Not roll call vote.
Okay, no roll call votes.
You
have to vote individually and voice it.
Yeah, but vote.
I would say your name and you'd vote rather than saying all in favor.
But is there a legal difference in that?
A roll call, correct.
Ms. Forster, is there a legal difference? I think Mr. Sharp might be asked. Is there a legal difference, or does a roll call have more import?
We were just discussing, the ordinances require a roll call vote. So you would never vote on an ordinance in a study session. Resolution, you don't.
I think, though, I'm just trying to go back historically. I think historically we've probably authorized the city manager to do something. and it may not be this body, but the previous body, I'm pretty certain, we took votes, and they weren't roll call votes. They were votes of the body that said, we'd like the city manager or we'd like the city attorney to do ABC, mm-hmm. and it just occurred. But it wasn't a roll call vote. It was just a vote. And I think it tended to be something that was almost always
unanimous,
not too contentious, yeah. if I recall.
Really
yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a directive
yeah.
for someone to...
Yeah.
I still feel some kind of way we ought to have something before us that says that at a roll call you can do X, Y, Z or can I do X, Y, Z, because right now I'm a little stymied as to safe harbor, roll call, consensus, vote, those three. Can you, and we may not need anything because what if I wanted to, we are sitting here and we wanted to vote on this right now and say, okay, these are the things we're going to do. Can we?
I believe we can based on the past councils.
Well,
I don't think I've done it. Ms. Pum.
Like Terry said, previous councils we have voted, but more on consensus stuff, nothing contentious or that needed to be up on the podium.
Mr. Kraft?
I mean, in the 4 years I remember, the only things we've sort of voted on in my recollection as a committee was when we went down the rules. But the votes weren't, they were just votes of what to put on a future agenda. They weren't.
You weren't adopting anything.
It wasn't until it actually went to a public meeting that was posted with all the agenda items on it that it actually counted. So we've only voted on stuff. And again, I think that we have the status of would be a committee of a whole of the whole, where we're acting like a committee that's recommending things to council when we vote here, but council has to sit over there and actually vote on it. Is the way I read Robert's Rules of Order.
Mr. Sharp,
can we vote? I'm asking the attorney. Can we vote in study sessions? Just plain simple.
You can vote on certain things. You can't vote on ordinances. You could vote, for example, to say we're interested in adopting this policy or adopting a policy or adding it to our rules. We would like you to draft something or direct someone to draft something, and then it will go before council where you will officially vote to adopt it. So I believe when you change your council's rules, I believe all those changes have to be adopted by council as a whole, by roll call vote. So if you're going to adopt an ordinance, a change to policy, things like that, you will have to do a roll call vote as a council. But here you can issue a directive or request inquiry, things like that, and vote in that manner as a consensus group. I could probably write up a cheat sheet for you if you'd like. Okay.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mayor. I think I'm understanding what Mr. Sharp is saying. Often under the city manager's report, we do not have a roll call vote. We just simply take a voice vote. Excuse me if I'm stepping on your toes, but I think Mr. Sharp wanted the distinction between when we would be required to take a roll call vote or when we would be allowed instead to take a voice vote. And I know that we have to take a roll call vote for ordinances. Would there be any other...
If
it's requested. Okay, otherwise a voice vote is adequate?
Correct.
And then we could have voice votes here or...
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Because there's no, as far as I know, there's no roll call vote required in study session.
Thank you.
So, what's the sense of the council? Should we, are people looking for a formal policy, or would we like to look at this further as a change to our rules? Any sense of that?
Can we vote on it?
Not by roll call.
Mr. Crow?
Well, I think Mr. Kraft suggested, or someone, it may not have been Mr. Kraft, that this be part of our rules. Can't we just have Katie take a stab at a one paragraph or two paragraph change to our rules? I mean, I think we're close, so then we can massage it one more time, but I would hope that she could. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I have all your comments. I've kept notes, so everything you guys had issues with.
I don't know
with.
That we need all the pages of what the
MML
had.
No, that's, it's...
I think if it's just going to be a rule for us...
Right, because I agree with you. I think it's going to be very unlikely it will be utilized by council.
Okay, if there's that consensus, Mr. Crow.
Are we on to... Can I just ask a question?
Yes, you may.
It looks to me like this agenda is light. And...
Do you want to go downstairs and Skype
no,
and see if
really,
it works?
I don't, but I'm just trying to figure out, is there anything else that's coming up tonight? Because my daughter has a violin concert at Flynn Park, and she is very upset that neither of us are there. So I'm just trying to figure out, is there any... I look at this agenda, and I don't see anything that we haven't seen before.
You can Skype it,
but I'm just... it starts at 6:30, but she's a little bit later on in it.
The only thing we're adding... is I was adding the proclamation for arts and letters, and Mr. Sharp was hoping he could add Beth Gooch to be appointed to the Youth Commission. Ms. Pum should have copies of that application for everyone. Okay. Otherwise, it's...
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
He wants to know if we can get through it real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, I will we'll close this, and we'll start up front in a couple minutes. Thanks, everyone.